Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Today's message is how you can neutralize bitterness.
Let's go back to our foundational scripture quickly. Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Look, you will fall short of many things, but you will never fall short of the grace of God.
Amen.
By God's grace.
Amen.
You see, the Bible didn't say don't fall short of money. Don't fall short of the grace of God. People are fighting to not fall short of this, not fall short of that, in the detriment of falling short of the grace. Like, but you are trying to not fall short of money, not fall short of this. You rather fall short of the grace in the pursuing of not falling short of this than falling short of that. I tell you. Make sure you don't fall short of the grace of God. Because when that happens, you are no more protected. Then the root of bitterness can start springing up. You know why? Because when you have received grace, it's easy to give grace. Even though it's not that easy, but to some degree you can. But when you fall short of grace, it becomes difficult for you to give grace to anybody that is hurting you. So you become a victim of offense and bitterness because you've fallen short of the grace. And then, I'm just paraphrasing Hebrews 12:15. Then, as soon as the root of bitterness start germinating in you, it gives rise to problems. You become hectic. Tough, hard, rude, harsh. Your words depress people. It becomes difficult to be around you. What is going on? You fell short of the grace. And when you fell short of the grace, the root of bitterness started immediately growing inside of you. And that root is now causing problems. All of the sudden, you are no more that sociable. You begin to distance yourself from your fellow brethren, and they too begin to distance themselves from you. You begin to find yourself more and more isolated, more and more alone, more and more with your phone. Just you and your phone. Nobody else. You don't have time to connect with anybody because you have an issue with this one, you have an issue with this one, you have an issue with this one, you have an issue with everybody. The only thing you don't have an issue with is your phone. So many bitter people make their phone their only friend. And I think that's quite unfair because your phone can't relate. And sometimes your phone is tired, but it can't tell you. It can't tell you. It's quite unfair. The phone will go battery flat. You charge. You can't let me down now. I need you. I'm not able to sleep. I need you to be awake with me. The phone says, look, I've been with you the whole day. Give me a little break. He said, no. If I don't sleep, you can't sleep. I wish your phone could speak to you. I don't want to be there to hear the conversation. When your phone starts talking to you and say, Killer P. Killer P. I'm tired. If your phone could talk to you on certain messages you are sending to people using your phone, if your phone could communicate and say, listen, you are using me for things that I don't understand what you are using me for. This is not what you bought me for. I'm now intertwined in battles between you and this other person. And I have nothing to do with those battles. But I'm the agent you are using to communicate and send your arrows. If your phone could communicate to you, your phone will say, you need sweetness. Instead of this bitterness, you are communicating. See, this problem that starts rising around, they affect us. Bitterness is a bitter person has a lot of problems. It's just that they are not aware. Yeah. And I was quite surprised during the week. I came across a message preached, I think last month, by one of our fathers in the faith, Dr. Mensah Otambel from Ghana. And the title of his message was "The Things That Trouble, Things That Destroy Us." The series is "Things That Destroy Us." And the first thing that he came across that he believed destroy us, bitterness. That is his first. And I just came across that last week. That's the first thing that destroys human beings. It's not poverty. It's bitterness. Yeah. It destroys us inside. The things that destroy. And I taught you already that bitterness is a poison. I'm going to need time. Bitterness is a poison. Are you listening to me? Yes. So a poison will affect the one that is poisoned. A bitter person can't move in life in the right pace. A bitter person is usually very slow. Why? Because it takes a lot of relationship to move fast. But when you are bitter, you can't relate with this one, you can't relate with this one, you can't relate with that one. I mean, you are just stuck in your little world. The world of a bitter person is very small. And sometimes it's confined to just himself and his phone, like I was saying earlier. Please, beat bitterness. Beat it. And that is what I'm here to teach you this morning. Today's message is how you can neutralize bitterness. How you can neutralize bitterness, part two. Last week, I gave you part one. So let's go this morning to part two of neutralizing bitterness. Let me again remind you that the fight against bitterness is a continual fight. It's not a fight you will win once and for all. No. You will have to fight bitterness with yourself. You can become bitter with yourself because of continual failures. And guess what? You can become bitter with God. There are people that are very bitter towards God. When they talk about God, it's with a lot of bitterness and anger. The first group, they are bitter with themselves. You should hear how they talk about themselves. You should hear what they say about that. You can say this person is bitter towards themselves. They don't like themselves. They don't accept themselves. They are struggling with themselves. They don't enjoy themselves. They are bitter with themselves. So they torture and hate themselves. I promise you. There's a man I was helping during the week. And you know, I printed forms for him to fill. And he filled one form and there was a mistake on that form. You know, the way he reacted towards himself, it was so terrible. And he kept saying to me, you know, I'm so stupid, I'm so useless. And I said to him, sir, I mean, we all do this, but please don't say that about yourself. I had to turn and say to him, please, don't talk like that. I mean, what just happened now, it can be solved in a second, but the things you are saying can take years to be solved. Like, what you are saying about yourself. All we need to do is to print another paper and you sign it again and the problem is solved. But the things you are saying will not be solved that quickly. So don't say them. Don't say them. Bitter towards yourself. And bitter towards God. I trusted God for this. Now I see it over there. Another person got it. I've been keeping myself, trying to live for God, trying to do everything for God. Now I just went for a normal checkup. Now look at what I'm hearing about myself. What type of thing is this? Where is God? Bitter towards God. I've been attending church every week. And I really thought that God is going to spare my mother. Now my mother is dead. God forbid. But these are the things that make people become bitter towards God. It's as if every time something goes wrong in our lives, God is responsible. That is where the bitterness towards God comes. We make God responsible for every bad thing that happens to us. And we have never given him the credit. I mean, very few people give him credit for the good things that happen to them. When something good happens to them, they give the credit to themselves, to their education, to their smartness, and their skills. But when something bad happens to them, they are looking for the culprit. And their culprit is always God. Yeah, I've told you, I mean, even in court, if there was a storm and a tree fell on your car or something happened, you know what they call it? Acts of God. Yes, these are the acts of God. So the insurance will say we cannot take responsibility. This is an act of God. If you want somebody to pay for this, go and ask God to pay, because these are acts of God. Yes. It's a legal term, the acts of God. But they've never given birth to a child and said, these are the acts of God. No. This is the skill of my doctor and the help of my mother. I mean, we give the credit to ourselves. The psalmist says, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. Not unto us, but unto your name be the glory. We must learn to give glory to God. Not wait for the first mistake to make him responsible for it. And you might be watching me this morning and you are very bitter with God because of something you heard or something that happened to you or something that happened to somebody you loved. And even though you are attending church and you are worshiping God, but you are bitter. You are not happy with him. And that explains why you've stopped talking to him. Because when you are bitter with a person, you don't talk to them. The relationship is destroyed. The third level of bitterness is towards people. You can be bitter towards your mom because you feel she abandoned you. She didn't take care of you. You can be bitter towards your dad because you feel he was never there. And we have some dads that abuse their own children. If they don't beat them, they rape them. You can have a lot of bitterness towards your brother. You can have a lot of bitterness towards your sister. You might never even know when the bitterness, because these things start unaware. You are not aware that the root is already in place. But just a good day, you react in a way that will shock yourself. The root of bitterness, it defiles, it destroys, it kills. It makes you heavy. It makes you proud. Because it takes humility to forgive. A proud person cannot forgive. And a proud person cannot ask for forgiveness. So bitterness makes you unspiritual. It makes you carnal. Because bitterness happens at the realm of your soul. The bitterness of your soul. So when you respond to the bitterness, you're actually descending into carnality. Before long, you're going to start fighting with the weapons of, with carnal weapons, not the weapons of the spirit. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But when you become a bitter person, your weapons become carnal weapons. You start not greeting people. You start reacting to them the way they react towards you. You become just like them. You become a carnal Christian. And the power of God sees operating in your life. It just becomes a cocoon that has nothing inside. I'm sure you've seen the shells by the sea. It's a shell, but there's nothing inside. It's a beautiful shell. You can use it for decoration. You can make a necklace with it. But it has no life. Life has been withdrawn from it. So you can be in the church, but you've just become a shell. A nice shell, but the power that gets things done has been killed. And what kills it is bitterness. That thing that you don't really think has power. It becomes the reason why you don't pray. It becomes the reason why you don't have a prayer. Your prayer life is finished. You are just a cocoon moving around in a church, doing what you used to do before, but now you are doing it without power. There's no power in it. There's no power in it. And we become religious people. We are sitting in the church. We are praising God, but you can't say hello to the person next to you. In the church. You leave your house and you didn't do 1, 2, 3, didn't talk to, it's been months, you don't talk to this one. You don't care as long as you are worshiping God. No. Let me tell you something. That is what Paul says, that they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power. You don't have the power. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drinking and eating. The kingdom of God is power. Look at what Paul says. So that the kingdom of God is joy, righteousness, peace, joy. You see, these are things that a bitter person cannot have. A bitter person cannot have peace. A bitter person cannot have joy. And a bitter person is not walking in righteousness. I hope you are still with me.
Yes, sir.
We need to fight this. We need to uproot bitterness from our lives. It poisons your spirituality. It poisons your joy. It poisons your relationships. It turns you into a secluded person. You are just there on your corner, feeling like the whole world is against you. Everybody is fighting you. But wait a minute. Why don't you also ask yourself that? Could it be, just in case, could it be that I'm also somehow responsible for what is going on with me? God has sent his holy word, this month, to pull us out of this pit. Because some of us have become professional bitter. Like, you are so professional at being bitter that it has become your second nature. Like you don't even know. Like, do you understand that sometimes you have a condition and you don't know you have a condition? Yeah. The first time my father in the ministry said that I have many mental patients that are moving around, I didn't understand. But when you study it well, you realize that some people that you are talking with, you are having lunch with, should be in a mental institution. Like, they shouldn't be moving around. It's actually a problem. And that's why one day you just hear he's killed somebody. Say, hey, how? What happened? You just say, oh, he raped his daughter. How? This is a mental patient. But he was moving around. He was moving around. And nobody could pick the signal. This is a mental patient. Because he's well-dressed. Wearing a suit, everything looks okay. And that's what starts happening with us. You just start finding yourself when you are alone doing certain things that you can't imagine that you could do something like that. But in public, you continue wearing the suit and looking dignified. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You've fallen short of the grace of God. And that has given birth to bitterness. Like, bitterness cannot grow where the grace of God is at work. When the grace of God is allowed to function, when you receive that grace and you are also giving that grace, you are patient with people. You are forgiving towards people. The root of bitterness cannot grow in your heart. But once you've stopped receiving the grace of God, you are blaming yourself. You are self-righteous. So that makes you fall short of the grace of God. And then when you fall short, you start condemning yourself, criticizing yourself, blaming yourself. Then automatically, that's what you start doing towards other people. Then before you realize, you are no more operating under the grace of God. And that sets you up for candidacy for bitterness. So we saw last week, how do you fight bitterness? Number one, fight an independent spirit. Fight that spirit. Don't be an independent person. And I told her, an independent person, somebody with an independent spirit is somebody who struggles to flow. It's a struggle to flow. Have you seen a road that has a lot of humps? You can't move fast. Things are always slow. Or a road that has a lot of potholes. A person that has an independent spirit is like a road with a lot of big potholes. Things don't just flow with him. Man, you have to always be careful. You have to always negotiate. Man, things don't just flow with this person. Person with an independent spirit struggles to follow. They are not easily correctable. There's nothing wrong with independence. But don't be part of a group and you want to be independent. If you want to be independent, no problem. Go to the desert. Go like just be by yourself. I mean, you'll never see anybody coming to ask you a question there. But once you join a group, once you are part of a church, you are part of a choir, you are part of a family, you are part of a gathering, then you cannot be part of a group and you are still wanting to behave as an independent person. And that is where we're having a problem, because a lot of us want to be part of a group and still remain yourself. That's where the problem starts. You understand? So fight that independent spirit that keeps moving you to oppose your leader, to oppose the pastor, to oppose the decision maker. Yeah, that you always have another thing in your head when things are being said. It is an attack. That is going to lead to bitterness. It's a matter of time. You are being set up to become bitter. And it takes us to the second point we saw last week. If you want to defeat bitterness, fight offense. Jesus told us offense will happen. Every church has offended people. Every pastor has gone through a lot of offense. Let me tell you something. You are sitting there thinking you are offended. If you knew what your pastor goes through, the same people he has to continue loving. If you knew what happens to him, I mean, Jesus comes down here, does everything right, loves everybody, feeds everybody, helps everybody. Man, we still find a reason to kill him. But Jesus refused to die with an offended heart. Right on the cross, where he had every right to curse us, to say, you people, I left my glory to come here, and this is what you have done for me. From today, all of you, hellfire. No! Jesus, on the cross, with nails we have put on his hands, with nails we have put on his feet, with an arrow we have used to pierce his side, he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have done very well. I cannot miss it at the last moment. A lot of us, sometimes you do so well. You are in the church for 5 years. You've done very, very well. And now it seems like you are crucified. You are on the cross. A and you are being crucified by the very people that you helped. And then at that moment, you feel every right to be bitter. You feel every right to curse. You feel every right to become a very bad person. And it will be justified. But Jesus said, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. I choose to end well. And he ended by forgiving us. I heard of a man, he was in the hospital bed, about to die. They asked him, so, will you forgive this man? Never! Never! I will never forgive them! Even on the hospital bed, on the death bed, I will never forgive. Offense turned Herodias into a killer. We saw that last week. Listen to me. Nothing makes it. This is woman's mouth. All right? Let me tell our sisters this morning. Nothing makes a woman more uglier than bitterness in her heart. I know many women try to sophisticate the face, plaster the face, do all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. You can do all that plastering, put all kinds of things everywhere. If your heart is full of bitterness, you will be very ugly. Nothing makes a woman more uglier than bitterness. Herodias is a clear indication. Do you think that after that night, do you think that Herod went back to Herodias and said, hello, honey? Herod, I'm sure after that night, he reviewed his plans. A woman that can ask for the head of John the Baptist, and she receives the head of John the Baptist, I mean, it makes you think about your own head. I mean, if she has asked for the head of John the Baptist, your next question becomes, what of my own head? What of my own head? And this is just a pastor who made a comment about her issue. And she knows all your mistresses. I mean, just imagine what can come for you. I think we should go teeth by teeth. Tooth by tooth. While you are alive. Offense turned Herodias into a killer. Offense will turn every beautiful sister into a monster. She will become a viper. And at times she'll become an anaconda. If she lets bitterness sit in her heart, she cannot believe the things she will request. It will be another world. So sisters, we are in the month of women. And we are already seeing a woman. She's giving us a very bad feeling that, look, if you let bitterness and offense enter your heart, a lot of people will die. That's why we are here, people of God. Amen. We are here to trade that bitterness for sweetness. You have to trade your sorrow and receive the joy of the Lord. Give the spirit of heaviness. Take the garment of praise. Give the ashes and take beauty. This series is about trading. Trade this thing. I'm saying, let go of this and take something better. Take something better. Take something nicer. Brothers and sisters, life is too short to spend it hating people. I want to be honest with you. You need to make a conscious decision. I'm not going to live a bitter life. I'm not going to be a bitter person. My life is too short. And when you become bitter, it becomes shorter. Like, your life is already short. But when you become bitter, your life becomes even shorter. It becomes shorter. It becomes shorter. Then it is shorter and uglier. Then it is shorter and uglier and harder. Look at what bitterness is doing to you. It costing too much to be bitter. I mean, count your cost and ask yourself, is this what I want? Is this what I want? I don't think after that evening, anybody wanted to be friends with Herodias. She lost all her friends. Even the daughter, after the daughter went and slept, said, hey, my mother is dangerous. My mother, no. She has a problem. How many of you believe that Herodias had a serious problem? She turned the birthday party of her husband into a murder case. Like, the whole birthday party, the whole joy turned into sorrow as the head of John the Baptist is being carried across the court. And people can see. My God. Yeah. The head of John the Baptist became the birthday cake. The birthday cake of Herod. Herod was the head of John the Baptist. Lord, help us. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to eat such a cake. A celebration turned into a condemnation. Yeah. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Offense is the second thing you must fight. Now, brothers, you must fight offense, because offense will turn you into a dangerous son. Dangerous son. And a dangerous son too is a killer. So we are picking up our study this morning from this guy called Absalom. And we're going to run with him till the end, because I just want to talk to the brothers now. Yeah. And the sisters too, because you can be a dangerous daughter. You can be a dangerous brother. You can be a dangerous daughter. Are you with me? 2 Kings 13, verse 30 to 32. While they were on their way, the report came to David. Absalom has struck down all the king's sons. Not one of them is left. The king stood up, tore his clothes and lay down on the ground, and all his attendants stood by with their clothes torn. But Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, my lord should not think that they killed all the princes. Only Amnon is dead. This has been Absalom's express intention ever since the day Amnon raped his sister Tamar. You see, Amnon and Absalom were good friends. Everything was flowing. But if you know the story well, Amnon fell in love with Tamar, the sister of Absalom. But he didn't go the right way. He twisted his ways and lured the lady into his bedroom and raped her. But that is not even all. The problem is, after he raped her like that, he dumped her. And he said to her, carry yourself and get out of here. Apparently, all the love, which is not, now we know it was not love, it was lust. And it has always been the case. All that lust turned into hate, as it always does. Yeah. That's why we always encourage sisters, don't give the cookie to the brother. As you are giving him the cookie, the last that is leading him to get the cookie will turn. And the same night, he will start hating you. Right there and there, he will start feeling that you are the reason why he's not anointed. You are the reason why his ministry is falling apart. You are the reason why he's not doing well. And right there and there, you have lost your place. It's finished. It's finished. So I will say to you, hold yourself and say, if I do like this, look at Amana. Look at Amana. As soon as Amnon got what he wanted, she became old story. Old story. The Bible says that Absalom took her to his house. And that was another problem now, because you see, Tamar is hurt. She's been abused and molested. And her only brother took her to the house. So you can imagine, every day Absalom will ask Tamar, how are you feeling today? I'm still hurt. I can't believe Amnon did this to me. Then Absalom will say, tell me, what exactly did he do? Then she will relate, you know, he called me to his room. Then he said, I must bring the food. You see, every time Tamar relates that story, every time Absalom hears that story, something is cooking in him. Something is cooking in him. It's very dangerous to go for somebody who is not your own. It can lead to certain problems that you didn't prepare for. I say it's dangerous to go for somebody that belongs to somebody else. Because when the person goes back to the person they belong to, he will ask the question, so what happened? Then this one wanting to save her face, Tamar will now say, you know, I didn't do anything. May I just took the food? He said, I must give him the food. So then what happened? As soon as I brought the food, I laid the food before him. He arrested me. Then the guys, as he's listening to that story, the anger is building up in him. Tomorrow, he asks for the same story, my friend. Every day he wants to hear the story. Give me all the details about this story. Every day for 2 years, Absalom is hearing the story of how Amnon raped her. It was enough to build a volcano inside of him, a real volcano. Are you with me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And because we know that Amnon ended up dead, it is a very important indication to you and to me that sexual matters lead to death. As you are busy with these matters, just know that they carry death as well. No, we cannot begin to talk now about the list of murdered lovers in this world. People that have been murdered because of love. which is actually last, not even laugh. So be careful as you are eyeing things that are not your own. Be very careful, because somebody might not find it funny. Other people might forgive you, but there'll be one person somewhere who keeps hearing, he keeps putting the story on repeat. He keeps re-listening to the same story. And you'll be surprised. Out of the blue, there's a problem. Are you with me? Fight offense. Fight offense. And you fight offense with forgiveness. And that's the thing Absalom couldn't do. He was so offended that he decided to do something about it. And something ended up being done about him. As you see, when we get to the end of the story, as he was trying to take the matters in his hands, matters got taken also in his case as well. Yeah. So as you are sitting there listening to the story over and over again, saying to yourself, I must deal with this guy. Just be careful that you don't get dealt with yourself. Because this thing, bitterness doesn't favor nobody. Bitterness makes you do this, and then it makes other people do something to you as well. So the only way to kill bitterness is to forgive. Once you forgive, you have destroyed the power of bitterness. Forgiving means I take matters off my hands and I place them in the hands of God. God will be a better judge than myself in this situation. That's what you are saying. That I will not allow myself, Lord, even help me. As I'm preaching this message, help me now. That I should never allow myself to take matters in my own hands. Let me allow God to handle them. Let's all allow God. God is a better judge. I remember the woman of God, Joyce Meyer, she said, God told her, I can deal with this thing better than you, but I will never do anything as long as you want to deal with it yourself. God is a better judge. Look, when God starts judging your people, you will go and ask him to forgive them. You yourself, you go and say, Lord, please, it's enough. Please, let them go now. And God will say, I'm just starting. This is just the starting point. So let God be the judge. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number three, fight passivity. Fight that thing. You see, the moment you are hurt, the natural thing that starts happening is you start withdrawing. Like, naturally, you don't feel like you should involve yourself in anything anymore. The moment you feel betrayed, the moment you feel let down, you will naturally start pulling away. And that's the thing I'm saying. Fight that thought that is coming to say to you, pull away. That thought that is coming to say to you, don't involve yourself anymore. That thought that is coming to say to you, pull out. Fight that thought. That, if you don't fight that thing is taking you somewhere. 2 Kings 13 verse 22. And Absalom never said a word to Amnon, either good or bad. He hated Amnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. You see, Absalom got offended. Now offense has moved him to passivity, where he is no more communicating with Amnon. One of the first things that happens to a bitter person, and when bitterness has began to work, communication gets affected. Yeah. There's no more flow. We are no more talking. When bitterness has started in a marriage, communication gets affected. We stay in the house, but something has changed. Something has changed between these two people. And the main thing that has changed is communication. That's the first thing that gets hit when bitterness starts working. Communication. There's no more flow of communication. In other words, I don't talk to you anymore. It's just hello, hello. Hello, hello. How are you? I'm good. How was your day? Ah, no, sharp, sharp. No smile, no flow. Bitterness is working. When we are no more responding to your leader, something is taking place. You are no more responding to the messages of your pastor. You are just taking a certain corner. You come to church, you sit at the back. You look very uninvolved. You who used to say to people, oh yes. Now you are like, oh no, oh no, oh no. What's happening? What's happening to you? Communication. Verbal and nonverbal. All of them are affected. Absalom never said a word. When you are bitter towards a person, the first thing you stop doing, you stop talking to the person. And I'm here to say, fight that thing. That's what you should fight. Fight this thing that is saying to you, don't talk to him. That voice that says to you, ignore her. I don't respond to him. Don't respond to him. He mustn't even have an idea that you are supporting. I mean, don't even give any sign that show that perhaps at any level there should be a possibility that you are showing interest. That's the thing I'm saying. It is the hard thing to fight. That's it. It is hard to fight an independent spirit, because that's who you feel you are. Fight it. It is hard to fight offense. Fight it. It is hard to fight passivity. It's hard to pull yourself and give that smile and be there and be involved and give your best. Even though your heart is bleeding, but try this. I'm fighting this passivity. I cannot allow myself to go down the drain. If I let this thing take shape, it's going to destroy me, friend. I'm fighting. I'm fighting bitterness. I'm fighting bitterness by fighting passivity. Are you with me, people of God? I see you fighting passivity. And you find passivity by refusing to not talk. When that voice says, don't talk, say, I will speak. I will speak. You know what happens? When you don't speak, everything goes to your thoughts. And that is where the poison starts working. In the book of Matthew 9:4, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts? Do you know where evil thoughts are coming from? Lack of talking. The Pharisees are sitting there, they have an opinion, but they are not sharing their opinion. They are quiet. As Jesus is speaking, as Jesus is doing miracles, they are just sitting there, quiet, uninvolved, uninterested, passive, they don't care, they are not interested. Yet, as they don't want to get involved, something is start getting involved in their hearts. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Do you understand? As you don't want to talk to that person, the talking is going to go inside your heart. And then you're going to start having these bad thoughts about it. But if you are talking to the person, those bad thoughts will not exist. I'm giving you, God has given you a key this morning to eliminate these bad thoughts from your life. Eliminate these bad thoughts. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, praise the name of Jesus in this place. Remember, passivity affects communication. And communication takes the talking to your heart in the nature of evil thoughts. Because you are not expressing yourself. Something starts happening on the inside. Number two, passivity leads to internal accusations. When you are not talking, when you are not saying what is bothering you, accusations are unlocked on the inside of you. And you start receiving accusations about the person. You spend your whole day hearing accusations. You see what he did? You see what she did? You see? They don't care about you. This and that. The whole day, your mind is bombarded with accusations. And those accusations are designed to make your heart and your attitude to be of a certain nature. It's leading you to bitterness. Job understood this in the book of Job 32, verse 18 to 20. He says, I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Inside, I am like a bottle of wine, like new wine skin ready to burst. Inside, I'm bottled up. I'm bottled up. Job says, I am bottled up inside. I am full of words and I'm bottled up. I'm bottled up. A lot of you are bottled up, but you are not speaking. You are not speaking. You are just internalizing this thing. You know, there are two ways the volcano can react. A volcano can explode or a volcano can implode. When the volcano implodes, it means it has exploded inside. So he says, I'm bottling up. And when the thing implodes, imagine all that lava that is supposed to go outside. It has now bursted inside. I'm sure you understand what's going to happen to that volcano. It will collapse. But I like verse 20. He said, I must speak. Are you listening? Verse 18 says, I am full of words. Yes. Verse 19 says, I am bottled up like wine. I'm about to burst. Verse 20 says, I must speak and find relief. That's what he's saying. Say, when I speak, I find relief. Tell your neighbor, every time you speak, you will find relief. You find relief. I must speak and find relief. I must open my lips and reply. How must I speak? Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Now that you have to speak, don't just start blasting, volcanoing everybody. No. I can speak, but I can speak the truth. They speak the truth, but in love. I must speak, but in love. Don't speak and you are attacking people. And by the time you are done speaking, you have taken all the negativity and you have passed it to the other person. You know those people, they come with a lot of negativity and they just pass it on. They're passing it on. They become sweet, you become bitter. Then you reverse, they become sweet and they became bitter. Like, some homes are like that. When this one is sweet, this one is bitter. When this one is bitter, this one is sweet. Some relationships are like that. When the husband is sweet, the wife is bitter. When the wife is sweet, the husband is bitter. No. And this is because when you speak the truth, you speak the truth to attack the person. Don't speak to attack. Speak to help the situation. Do you understand? Speak to resolve the conflict. A lot of you didn't have to leave the church. I know you are watching me now on YouTube. You are supposed to be in the building. You are now watching on YouTube because something happened and you didn't speak. You just took action. Now you are regretting your steps. I came to tell you this morning, you are welcome back home. Come and let's have a conversation. Come, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Let's fight this bitterness. You know that this church helped you before. Now you are going around saying all kinds of evil things against the church. What has happened to you? Bitterness has happened to you. The same pastor that blessed you is now your enemy. Bitterness has happened to you. The same husband you said I do to, the same wife you say I do to, now they are a monster. What has happened? Bitterness has happened. Bitterness has happened. And we need to sit down and sort out these issues. Instead of continuing pretending as if everything is okay. How must I speak? I must speak according to John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. First dimension, speak the truth with love. Second dimension, speak the truth with grace. Grace, don't just speak the truth. Also add grace. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Yes, it is true that I'm rude. But grace is that I know you are rude, but God is fixing you. God can help us. That's grace. Like, don't just speak the truth. Because if you just speak the truth, you like, look, people are stuck. People have problems. And when you are seeing issues about people, what you are seeing is true. When you look at your pastor, you must say that, I think my pastor gets angry very easily. That's the, you are saying something that is true. But don't just see the truth. Add grace. Mix truth with grace. Because if you only take the truth will lead you to go the wrong way. And many times, Satan will come with the truth. Moses came with the law. The law is if you do this, you must die. I cannot stand a pastor that is like this. I cannot stand a member that is like this. That's the truth. But Jesus came with something else. Truth and grace. I mean, I'm going to tell them the truth. Yes. But add grace as well. Because grace was shown to you. Grace was shown to you. If we were learning to operate with grace and truth, many relationships will not fall apart. Some people are law. Moses. When they appear, they open Article 17, Subtitle 6, the resolution that was taken in 1973, does state. My God, you are feeling that you married a lawyer. Or you married a prosecutor. You are prosecuted. You are in court every day. You are in the house with a lawyer. There are court cases on your case every day. And from time to time, they put them in shelves. When you come with another problem, they go and pull the other court cases and they present you the evidence. By the time they are done, you have a headache. You have a headache. But I'm telling you something. If you could learn to... What you are saying is true. Say it with love. Then take it further. Say it with grace. You will win in all your relationships. There will be joy. Amen. People will change gladly. But this thing, you are coming to be the prosecutor. You are making people bitter. You're making people bitter. I'm not saying be lenient. You are not better than Jesus. Jesus came with grace and truth. Moses came with the law only. Nobody could change. In fact, people say, look, we will show you. We will show you. You want to, we will show you. Jesus reviewed the plan. I think if you are wise, you will follow Jesus. You will not come with the law. You will come with grace and truth. And you will win your children. You will win your members. You will win your beloved. Some of you were supposed to be married a long time ago. But your problem is, Pastor, I just tell him the truth. I mean, must I lie? I'm not saying you should lie. But I'm saying, speak the truth with grace. Speak the truth with grace. I mean, you are just speaking the truth, 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 truth. You yourself, if we start telling you the truth about you, you will not survive. Nobody can survive on truth alone. Just like I can say to you, nobody can survive on apples alone. That's why God gave apples orange. I mean, imagine the whole world, only apples. So nobody can stand the truth being told them day and night. Oh, you didn't put the shoes where you're supposed to put. Oh, you know, you didn't sleep on the right side of the bed. Oh, you know, when you finish washing the dishes, you must throw this side. Oh, you know, this is not where you put the cups. This is where you put the. Hey, nobody can. Look, people can't stand that for too long. You are killing them. Add a bit of grace. From time to time, pick the shoes yourself, put them there, and then still smile and let it flow. And with time, they will start fixing it by themselves. I'm talking by experience. Do you understand? I have 11 years in marriage. I'm talking by experience. This morning, you are receiving also free marital counseling. Hey! Number 4, fight criticism. You see, if you don't fight the passivity, you're going to start criticizing. First of all, inside, there will be accusations towards your pastor, towards that member, towards your father, towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your boss, towards your employee. There will be accusations. And if you let the accusation bubble deep in you and they stir up certain things, before you realize, you start criticizing. That's what happened to this dangerous son. And it's amazing how the father left Amnon. It shifted slowly to his father. It's amazing how something happens in the church between two members. But amazingly, it shifts. And the pastor becomes the responsible of that issue. How the criticism are now being introduced. And guess who's being criticized? David, the father. 2 Samuel 15, verse 1 to 16. Verse 1 to 6. And in the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. I mean, the guy started building his own empire. 15 men to run ahead of him. Even David doesn't have such things. He comes, he's getting horses, and he's putting people in front of him. You can see something is deranged already. He will get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone comes with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom will call out to him, "What town are you from?" He will answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper. But there is no representative of the king to hear you. You have a point. But I will not be surprised that your point will not be considered." And Absalom will add, If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case will come to me and I will see that they receive justice. Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom will reach out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Absalom will behave in this way towards all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. People are coming to see the pastor. People are in the branch because of the messages of pastor. But a person in the branch is slowly diverting the attention of people. You say, when was the last time we saw Pastor Pascal here? I mean, we are the one toiling here. But every morning we must stand up and clap for TV. Because somebody is appearing on TV, we must not clap. When was the last time you guys saw Pastor Pascal in this area? The Bible says, and he stole their hearts of the people of Israel. Why is God saying he stole? Because the hearts of the people of Israel did not belong to him. The hearts of the people belong to their leader. And their leader is called David, not Absalom. But here is a son that is offended, a son that is hurt, a son that has become passive. He is now beginning to eye certain things. Look at what offense and bitterness is generating. How do you think the people feel as they are going home and the son of the king is telling them, look, if I were there, things are not going to go like this. Is he not criticizing his father? Indirectly. Be careful of people who make funny comments. Comments that are suggesting something they don't want to say. These are dangerous sons and dangerous daughters. In the absence of their father. Because David cannot be everywhere all the time. Pastor Pascal cannot be everywhere all the time. So Pastor Pascal will set people in places. But it becomes interesting how those people will behave when people come to them. Instead of directing them where the river is flowing from, they turn the river to themselves. They make themselves the center of the attention. And slowly but surely, they cut the people to their rightful leader. Absalom tactically cut people from the leader. I wish I could come to the branch where you are watching and ask you, when was the last time you listened to one of my messages? And when was the last time the person I put in charge there asked you that question? My sheep hear my voice, and I have made my voice available to everybody. My sheep hear my voice. That's John 10. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep doesn't need to see me. My sheep just need to hear my voice. Now, are my sheep hearing my voices? Only God knows if my shepherds are doing their work. A dangerous son is rather feeling this series my father has started. Bitterness. I mean, we're having serious problems here. You are not coming, you are teaching about bitterness. Bitterness, I mean, these people don't even know what is bitterness. Do they even understand what is bitterness? Well, guys, we have to deal with this series now, but you don't worry, you don't worry. Something else is coming soon. God is on the move. Something is going to start soon. I'm telling you now, you are an Absalom. And it's a matter of time. Your judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. And Absalom complains about instruction from his father. And Absalom criticizes the instruction. He never does them properly. He feels he could do better. Let me tell you something. wherever you are, if you ever have a thought that, you know that thing my father is doing there, I think I could do it better. I'm telling you already, you are somewhere else. And the moment you have such a thought and you are entertaining it, no, you are lost. It's a matter of time. And it explains the deranged results that you found yourself with, as it is appearing with these young men. They accuse their leader, they contradict their leader, they oppose their leader. They criticize him, they contradict him, they accuse him, they complain about him, and they oppose him. Sometimes you have these people in the church. They come to talk to you. They say things about the leader they don't know. And you are just watching them talk. Why are they even finding the courage to come and talk to you? That is where you should start. You should ask yourself first, why are people coming to talk to me? Why am I the center of accusation? When did I become the receiver of complaints? And when did I become the show pride of this community where they are all coming here? Where is your house the place where these people are gathering? Where is your phone the device that these complaints are all directed to? Oh no, we know you are close to him. Oh, please talk to him. We don't have access. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Bitterness started in your heart somewhere else. You didn't deal with it. It is now going to the direction of Lucifer, fighting authority. It has always been the plan. Everything that Lucifer starts, it will end with authority. Every political party that starts, they will tell you, we're going to do this. At the end of the day, they are fighting the established authority. It has always been the case. Number five, fight politics. Don't become a politician. What are politics? Groups. And can I tell you something? Bitter people always find themselves. Yeah. They know themselves. Bitter groups. I think you should change your WhatsApp group name. Don't call it Sisters in Christ or Brothers of the Most High. Call it Bitter Brothers. Bitter Sisters. That's the actual name you should give to that group. Because that's what is going on there. Yeah. Brothers of mountains. Like we are in the mountain. No, there's no mountain. There's no mountain at all. You are bitter. And it's amazing that all of you have found yourself in that group. So I'm helping you find the right name of the group. It's Bitter Brothers. Bitter Sisters. And for the sisters, it's Biting Bitter Sisters. BBS. And the brother is Broken Bitter Brothers. BBB. Fight the desire to join another group than the group you started with. Fight that thing that keeps suggesting, you know what? I think it's time to pull out of this. It's time to pull out of this. Fight that thing. Fight that thing that is it creating an edge in you. I know I can't take it. What do you mean you can't take it anymore? Then number six, fight deception. And one of the things I have learned in the recent years is that I am prone to deception. Yeah. In fact, when I studied my country, I realized that we are a deceived nation. Like, we are a highly deceived nation. Do you understand? So I understood why deception works on me so easily. Yeah, and if you go to my country, in my country, people believe they are the greatest in the world. Yeah. Yeah. And they talk like that. Like they said, you know, there's nothing like this in the world. And I remember there's a song we used to sing in the church. There's no one like Jesus. I've gone all over the world. I didn't see anybody like Jesus. Then the Lord says to me, you know, when you were singing this song, you had never traveled even from your area to the nearest city. But you were saying, I have gone through the whole world. I have never seen anybody like Jesus. Then he said to me, that's why when some of you travel just a little bit, he said, no, there are better things than Jesus. That's a deception. You are highly deceived and you are easily deceivable. Small thing you've done, you are already, your mind is already so high. No, you are very prone to deception. You are prone to deception. And I realize I'm prone to deception. So ever since I become very careful about my thoughts. My thoughts. I check the trend of my thoughts. Hey, please, stop it. Stop it right there. Stop it. Quickly. Before you realize, if you don't learn to quickly bring your thoughts, casting down all the imaginations and all these high things that are exalting themselves more than they should, as they start, they will shoot like a rocket. Before the Elijah said, I'm in space, and there's nothing you can do. Wow. That's where this young man found himself. The Bible says, and with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently, did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Golanite, David's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong. For the people with Absalom continually increase in number. So when Absalom saw that, man, people are coming to me, his deception became even stronger. I mean, imagine Absalom is in blind rebellion and people are following him. So understand that people being with you is never a sign you are doing well. That people are with you doesn't mean God is with you. The Bible says, and Absalom, the people with Absalom continually increase in number. Isn't it that we're looking for numbers? Isn't that we want to see increase in numbers? And here is a man, a dangerous son, who is having an increase in number. And he could even use it to say, guys, look for yourself. And those of you that are looking for numbers to judge, to know if God is somewhere, be very careful. Be very careful. Because you can be with an Absalom and you are innocent. You don't know that this guy has another agenda. You don't know that the guy you are following, and when you look and say, even this one has come. This has to be God. This has to be God. I mean, everybody has left David. Everybody is now with Absalom. I mean, the time of David is over. Absalom's time has arrived. Away with the old. Welcome the new. The Bible says people grow in number with Absalom. Yet the man was under heavy deception. Heavy deception. So the deception got into his head. Then he took the last stroke. Open rebellion. This is at this level, you are bitter to the point where indeed you are about to burst and you can't hold yourself anymore. And that's where you are not just criticizing him, now you are taking action. Yeah. And David is lamenting this issue here in 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. The Bible says, David said to Abishai and to all his officials, "My son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me." Wow. My own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. That's a bitter son. He never dealt with the issues. Today, he's about to kill his own father. He's about to destroy his own father. But it started with an issue between him and Amnon, which he never dealt with properly. I would like to tell all of us as I close that things didn't end well for Absalom, because they never do. God will never sponsor a rebel. Never. Never. Always remember that. If you ever rise up against a legal authority that God has established, no matter how well you're doing, it's a matter of time. It will collapse. The madness of Absalom grew. He chased his father out of the kingdom. He took over the kingdom. Took over everybody. Took over the wives of the. Can you believe it? The Philistine could not kill David. No Philistine could not move David. But his son made David run away. By the way, David didn't just run away. David said he will not fight his own son. And that is what a real father does. A real father does not fight his children, because you have descended at their level. So, you know, if you want the kingdom, you take it. No, you take it. No problem. Be careful what you want. It can be your death sentence. Because as soon as Absalom took the kingdom, all his years went from... If he was supposed to live... If he was supposed to live 50 years and he was 25, all his years descended to 25 and 6 days by just assessing something that is not for you. I remember one day T.D. Jakes said, "If I want to kill any of my pastors, I'll just make them to be the CEO of Potter's House for one day. They'll die." When you see somebody standing somewhere and it seems like everything is easy, you don't know what he's fighting. And you can easily desire what he has. But that can be your last thing you'll ever do. Because as soon as Absalom ascended the throne, within days, he was a dead man. But I believe if Absalom had remained where he was supposed to be, then I'm sure people could have even been calling their children today Absalom. But that is not the case. Joab said, "I'm not going to wait like this for you." So he took 3 javelins in his hands and plugged them into Absalom's heart while Absalom was still alive on the oak tree. By the way, the guy got caught up with his head on the tree. He was just there like this, suspended in the air. That is what happened to every Absalom and every rebel. You get suspended. You are going nowhere. You are going too fast. You got caught. Now you are just ballooning in the air. Like this. You are going nowhere. You are going nowhere. I tell you, I want you to see how many times Absalom died. It explains how God deals with dangerous people. Dangerous sons. Number one, Joab struck 3 arrows in the heart. So the guy is still alive, and there are 3 arrows. The blood is spilling. The end of a rebel. Then 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom. While the arrows are in his heart, 10 guards came around him. Then they took their swords and they started striking him. While these arrows are bleeding, 10 guys, imagine 10 people with swords that are striking one person. So, first death, arrows in the heart. Second, 10 people are struck. One person. Number three, the Bible says they killed him. So now he's dead. Then Joab sounded the trumpet and the troops stopped pursuing Israel and Joab halted them. Then they took Absalom, threw him into a big pit. Are you listening? In the forest, a king's son, a possible heir to the throne, arrows in the heart, struck by 10 men, then killed. Then they take the whole guy and they throw inside a big pit in the forest. There's no location. You would think that's the end. No. Then they pile up large heaps of rocks over him. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their homes. Look at how Absalom ended. He died about 5 times. Even after they threw him in the pit. After they threw somebody in the pit, they took large rocks. They dump on him. This, we want to make sure you understand the lesson. I'm ending by reading to you Proverbs 30 verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out, and the young eagle will eat it. As you allow bitterness to rot your soul, it will take you on a journey. You might not like how that journey is going to end. Because in all fairness, Absalom was the heir to the throne, loved by everybody. So handsome. The Bible describes him like there was nobody like him in the whole of Israel. But look at how he ended. In the pit with a heap of rocks in an unidentified location. Brothers and sisters, bitterness kills. And for you to not fall a victim of bitterness, fight these 7 things I have shared with you. Fight an independent spirit. Fight offense. Fight passivity. Fight criticism. Fight politics. Fight deception, then fight open rebellion. Fight these 7 things with all your strength. And who knows? You will still be alive. You will still be alive. You will still be moving around. Many would have fallen. You will still be moving around. Yeah. I've seen many young people with full of potential. They die too early. Or they rush too quick into things that they cannot handle. Take your time with God. God will help you. Can we stand on our feet this morning? Just raise your hands and pray for grace. You see, truth has come, but now we need grace. Hallelujah. Grace, 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 grace. Open your mouth and begin to ask God to give you grace. Grace to correct every step wherever you've gone wrong. Wherever you've missed it, Father, I need grace in this time, at this time. I need grace. I need grace. Somebody is praying. Somebody is praying from the depths of your heart. I need grace to correct my steps. To correct my steps. I've gone wrong. Father, help me today. Father, help me today. Help me today. I don't want to become a dangerous son. I don't want to become a dangerous daughter. There is always provision to correct myself. I can fix this mess that I'm finding myself into. I don't want to pretend as if I'm not hurt. Meanwhile, I know I'm not okay. I want to come to you, Jesus, and receive help from you. You are praying. You are praying from the depths of your heart. You are praying from the depths of your heart. You are receiving grace from above right now, right now. Mentolava. Let my name never be mentioned among those who fought their fathers. Let my name never be mentioned among those who rebelled and fought their fathers, fought their mothers. Let my name always be mentioned among those who honored their parents, who honored their fathers, who stood by their fathers. Let my name be mentioned among those who were beloved sons, not dangerous sons, were beloved daughters, not dangerous daughters. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You are praying from the depths of your heart. Father, I refuse to allow offense to destroy me. I refuse to steal the people that God has given to my father for myself. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this breath of fresh air that is entering our system to pulverize, to sanitize, and to clean every impurity and to remove every deathness and establish the life of the Spirit, the life of God that generates spiritual power that leads to victory in every area of life. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Before I close the service we are watching this morning, you are not born again, I would like to lead you in a prayer that will turn you into a beloved son. A beloved son. Don't be a dangerous son. Don't be a dangerous daughter. Don't be an opposer and a rebel. It doesn't end well, I promise you. You might look great today. I mean, there was a time Absalom really thought he was great, but he had no idea what was coming because he was deceived. Please, these messages are coming to help you to escape the deceptions of the enemy. Now, quickly, we are saying, Pastor, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to become a child of God. I want to pray for you right where you are. I'm going to count up to three. When you hear three, please raise your right hand. Pastor will pray with you. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. You want to be born again. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Now, you are already born again. But you are saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to God. I can sense that bitterness has really spoiled me. I'm a spoiled brat. I didn't know this is how spoiled I was. As I heard the word today, I realized I need help. In fact, I'm in ICU. This is an ICU case. I don't want to treat it lightly. I want to treat it with strength. Right now, Pastor, I need you to help me. At the count of three, you are saying, Pastor, I want to reconnect with divinity. I want to reconnect with destiny. I want to reconnect with humility. Raise your right hand. Let me pray for you. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. What a grace. What a grace. Thank you so much. Now, let's pray together from the depths of your heart. Repeat these blessed words. Precious Lord Jesus. Thank you for speaking to me today. I really believe you spoke to me. Not Pastor, you spoke to me. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I need your grace. Please forgive me my sins. Please forgive me my rebellion. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me grace this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.